From Fox News, it's The Candidates with Brett Baer.
On January 15, 2019, the junior U.S. Democratic Senator from New York, Kirsten Gillibrand, announced on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert she was forming an exploratory committee for the 2020 presidential election.
I'm filing an exploratory committee for President of the United States tonight.
Since announcing, Senator Gillibrand has made several stops in early voting states like South Carolina and Iowa. Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern takes a deeper dive at the potential candidate.
Kirsten Gillibrand has been serving in the Senate seat once held by the last Democratic nominee, Hillary Clinton, since 2009. First appointed by New York's governor after Clinton became Secretary of State, Gillibrand won Senate races in her own right in 2010, 2012, and 2018.
Hillary Clinton has been a mentor to me throughout my whole career. But long before our first conversation, Hillary spoke to me. In fact, she was speaking to a room full of women, members of a Democratic organization I had just joined.
Gillibrand worked in the Clinton administration and then on the 2000 Senate campaign for Hillary Clinton. Gillibrand entered Congress after flipping a Republican-held seat in the Albany area in 2006, running a campaign as a moderate Democrat and joined the Blue Dog Democrats, sometimes breaking with rank-and-file Democrats on gun policy and immigration.
I work on a bipartisan basis every day. I work with Ted Cruz on ending sexual harassment in Congress. I can work with anybody.
On the campaign trail, like at that stop in Des Moines, Gillibrand has talked up her response to sexual harassment and assault in Congress and the military. She was the first Senate Democrat to call on former Senator Al Franken to resign after photos emerged of inappropriate conduct, and has called her previous positions on immigration and gun control embarrassing, telling CBS's 60 Minutes.
I was wrong. What it's about is the power of the NRA and the greed of that industry. Let's be clear, it is not about hunters' rights. It's about money.
Since the election of President Trump, Gillibrand has become one of his loudest critics in the Senate, frequently directing her campaign speeches on his policies, even holding a rally outside one of his New York City hotels.
I am running for president to fix what's been broken, to repair our moral fabric, and to rebuild the common bonds between us as Americans.
On the Senate floor, Gillibrand has also made her opposition to the president and his administration clear, voting no on his nominees more than any other senator. When former Defense Secretary James Mattis was confirmed 98-1, Gillibrand stood alone, voting no. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Jared, thanks. We now bring in our panel, former State Department spokesperson and co-host of Benson and Harf, Marie Harf, Fox correspondent Peter Ducey, and Chris Steirwalt, Fox News politics editor. Marie, Kirsten Gillibrand sure seems like she's fully engaged here in this presidential run and seems like she's going to make a go of it.
Absolutely. She was out of the gate pretty early. She's been on the ground in the early states. She's been doing the media tours and the meet and greets and going to the diners and doing everything you do when you are setting up a serious presidential run. She's also been running pretty far to the left on some issues. There are people who remember when she was much more moderate on a number of issues. And so that's been part of this process for her as she gets this campaign up and running. That being said, she's a formidable candidate. I think she's good on the stump. She's good at retail politics. But as with every candidate, she has to find a way to distinguish herself. She's running as the woman in the race much more explicitly than some of the other women who are also running. And so I think that's one way she's trying to distinguish herself.
A great moment mid-February in Iowa where she was campaigning and very seriously about substance. And the lady behind her said, "Excuse me, I need to get some ranch."
So Midwestern. So perfect.
Might have been a pizza ranch. I'm not sure.
But if you want to put that into context with how she fits into the rest of the field, there would be so many people at an event like that around a Cory Booker, a Kamala Harris, a Bernie Sanders, where you're not getting close enough to reach for the ranch. And so she's obviously still unknown or has not caught on with a ton of early state voters. And I know I was just up in New Hampshire and our crew was there when she saw a guy sitting on the street and he was playing guitar, and she asked if she could sing a song with him. They sang a Cat Stevens song for a couple minutes, and then she walked off, and our crew asked the guy, do you have any idea who that was? And he said no.
Yeah.
Was that man Martin O'Malley?
By
any
chance? Oh,
sad. Oh, sad clown. Sorry. Sad. Kirsten Gillibrand in the Senate has done some bipartisan pieces of legislation. Mm-hmm. She's stood up for against some of the military in some of the investigations about sexual harassment, mm-hmm. and fighting for a law about making sure that women can be heard in the military on that front.
Mm-hmm.
But as Marie referenced, she's had some previous stances that have been more moderate than she is now as a candidate for president.
She had formerly NRA endorsee. Look, if Hillary Clinton has an heir in the Democratic Party, it is Gillibrand. Not only did she inherit Hillary Clinton's seat in the United States Senate, but she is a candidate of that mold. Yes, she adopts very liberal positions. But her backing on Wall Street is significant. She is sort of a corporatist Democrat, and she is not trusted by the party's base, the activist base of the Democratic Party. You can change your policies all you want. You can say, because now she's like, oh, two Green New Deals and also Medicare for all, whether you want it or not, or whatever.
And that she would support taking down the wall, possibly,
right,
like Beto.
Right. So you can say all of that stuff, but her, when the rubber hits the road for her, is going to be the moment when Amy Klobuchar looks at her and says, get real, lady, like get real. And that's going to be a tough fight for Gillibrand, because I can't figure out where in this process Gillibrand fits in. I can't figure out. Nobody can tell me yet the state where she's going to finish in the top three or is likely to finish in the top three. There's not an early state where she fits in well. I can't get her to Super Tuesday where she is in the discussion. And moreover, the femaleness, the I am running as a young mom, though at 43, I got to say, if 51 counts as a young parent, I feel a lot better about myself and where I'm at.
I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I feel a lot better about myself. But I just don't see the natural fit for her in a party that does not want a younger version of Hillary Clinton.
Marie, you buy that?
I do, generally speaking. And I think
that was
an endorsement, Chris. I think that it extends. I mean, she's a younger, blonde woman senator from New York. Like, just the visual alone, I hate to bring, I'll bring it up because I'm the woman here. There's a visual that is a little too similar to Hillary Clinton and not different enough. And I think it extends far beyond that. But she will have trouble distinguishing herself. I would also caution, though, you know, at this point in 2007 or 2015, or we can go back to 2003, who looked like they were getting traction was very different usually than who ended up being the candidate. So
yeah,
I always
point to Scott Walker was going
right.
to be the number one finisher. He never made it through 2015.
Right. Howard Dean is another good example. So I think Kirsten Gillibrand has some of the ingredients to break through if certain breaks go her way, but she's not someone I would naturally put at the top of the list.
She's also, you know, may not be trusted from the party's perspective. She's one of the people who forced Al Franken out of office, and by her statements and saying that he should step down. There are people who say maybe he shouldn't have stepped down, especially in retrospect of what we now know, and he wanted to fight back. But what about a breakthrough moment? How could she have one, and what does that look like?
You just need something that is not—
A debate, something.
Something that is not going to be a woman reaching for ranch, because the morning after that, you search Kirsten Gillibrand on Google News, and the top 20 results are all different things about somebody reaching for ranch behind
you. She should take that into her campaign.
But unfortunately, she probably will, and they'll probably be selling branded Kirsten Gillibrand ranch. Gilla Ranch will be available, and if you donate this much money, because let's look at it this way. During President Trump's State of the Union, she was trying so hard to have a moment to roll her eyes, and she's pulling these exaggerated faces as she's doing it. And in real time, during this, before the speech was over, her campaign had already clipped the GIF and was fundraising off of it. And it was like, that seems kind of forced. Meantime, Kamala Harris, I think she was sitting next to Sherrod Brown, looks over at him with a face that's like, bro. And that went viral on its own. And they didn't fundraise off of it. And they weren't like, did you see our great GIF? Did you see all this stuff? So there's something forced. There's something – Gillibrand wants it so badly. She wants it so much that it feels forced.
I also think there's an outstanding question that we will get answered in part over these next few months. Did Donald Trump fundamentally change how political campaigns are run and waged, or did he just change them for himself? So I think you will see some Democrats try to out-Trump Trump with their language and how they fight and how they tweet, and some who won't. But the question I think will be, did President Trump change the rules of the game for every presidential campaign going forward, or was it an anomaly? Democrats are going to be the first ones having to battle out that issue, and it could get a little messy at times.
But, you know, if you look at Democrats like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she tweets and talks a lot like Trump does. And she's getting the most attention in the party, isn't she, Marie?
I think she's getting a lot of attention in some quarters, but I don't think once we get into the presidential cycle, which she will not be a part of, that she will get as much attention. I think
she'll,
that she's just
she'll be a part of it, though. She'll back somebody eventually.
Of course she will, but she's a junior member of Congress. She is catnip, particularly for the right. There's this obsession with her that they're obsessed with everything she does. She trolls them on Twitter. But when it comes down to who's actually going to lead this party into 2020 and how we're going to fight this battle, she ain't going to be a part of that.
I'm just talking communications. I mean, it's not – it's ABC, CBS, NBC are covering her just as much as anybody else. For Kirsten Gillibrand, in this environment, how is she going to be able to touch the base with the progressive side and reach out to the middle?
Well, I think she is – I think she's going to have a hard time getting past Klobuchar. I think Klobuchar, if you look at the way that Klobuchar dealt with the same situation.
The senator from Minnesota who's running.
And she is in a town hall and they're like, well, don't you want free college? No. Don't you want? No. And that's not affordable and we're not going to do that. Because Klobuchar doesn't have the Wall Street problem and the Clinton problem that Gillibrand does, she's able to be to evince herself as, I'm a more moderate Democrat than the rest of than some of you guys. But I am my own woman and I'm independent and I am ask the people in Minnesota. I'm a tough cookie and I stand up for the interests that I care about and I get results. What Gillibrand is trying to do in terms of accommodating the demands of the left, I think make her look weak, not strong.
I think that, I mean, it's so amazing in these, especially in these small media markets in the early states, Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, what can break through at that level, it doesn't take a whole lot sometimes, right? And I do think that she has the raw political talent that could help her capitalize on that. Mm-hmm. So these are opportunities, I think, for some of these candidates to have more breakthrough moments that really reach some of these voters in early states.
We will cover them all. That will do it for this week. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and review. We want to hear from you. For Marie, Peter, and Chris, I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.